Today, we'd like to send a special thank you to the following restaurants for supporting No Goat Left Behind: Fatty Q, Fatty Q Brooklyn, and Fatty Crab Downtown. Show your support at these restaurants by ordering one of the menu items featuring goat. Goat is the most eaten protein in the entire world, yet in the US we import most of our goat. Our dairy farms are forced to kill some male goats at birth because there's no market for them. Help make a change. Support No Goat Left Behind. Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah.
That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high.
Look that look. You're listening to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, we have a new buddy of mine, U.S. Ambassador for Hendrix Gin, Jim Ryan. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hello. Thank you, Damon. Hello, world. How you doing out there? I won't wait for an answer.
They might call in. You never know. It happens sometimes.
Happy to be here, though. This is great.
Yeah,
I remember, I was just saying outside, I've kind of watched this place come up and being at Roberta's, and it's really, really exciting to see something happen out in this neighborhood. I've lived out in New York and Brooklyn for 8 years, so... it's really great to see out here. This was the first neighborhood I was going to move to. But I was deterred. I was like, no, it's too far away from the city. I can't do it. I don't know if I'm ready to move all the way out that way in Brooklyn. And now it's like a destination. So.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's its own little city.
Yeah, completely.
Absolutely. So yeah, man. So you've been living here 8 years, you
said? Ten in the city and two in Manhattan and eight in the rest in Brooklyn.
Cool.
Yeah, Greenpoint, Williamsburg, represent.
Nice. And how long have you been working with Hendrix Gin?
3 years. I just celebrated my little alone 3-year anniversary with Hendrix. Before that, I was a bartender, beverage manager, director. The last job I had was actually in Williamsburg. At Dressler Dumont and Dumont Burger. So I opened Dressler and kind of worked my way up through the ranks there. And they were really cool to me and kind of let me do whatever I wanted to. And regardless of, you know, the cost or the repercussions, and I learned a lot, taught myself a lot that way. So I was looking to do something different. I wasn't going to become independently wealthy overnight, so I kind of fell into this brand life with Hendrix literally over a Sazerac and a bowl of gumbo in New Orleans. That's kind of how it all, and there's no better way that I could think about it really happening or going down that way than that way. And I haven't really looked back since. It's been a really, really wild ride, and one of the things I asked myself when I was thinking about this job, you know, when it was sort of like I had to decide, I was like, is this something that I can do? Can I do this? Is this like, can I get up early, stay out late, travel a bunch, meet a bunch of amazing people and, you know, talk about this particular liquid? And the answer was yeah. And then I asked myself, the next question was, what other ones could I do this with? And I honestly don't remember now. 3 years ago, there were like one or two, but they're probably defunct brands by now. I have no idea what they are. So it keeps me creative and still keeps me, even though I may not sound so sharp, it still keeps me relatively, sharp.
Well, you've been on the road pretty hardcore the last... Well, 3 years, but especially the last week or so.
Yeah, it's been wild. I'm pretty convinced that if I were a touring musician, I would fail on the road miserably. But somehow you managed to pull it together. So this past weekend, some New York bartender friends of mine and I, we went down to Annapolis. And every year, the sleepy town of Annapolis, Maryland, just goes absolutely bananas for this sailboat show. And there are like thousands of massive sailboats. And of course, there's also way more people than boats. So we are there and we had an opportunity to present Hendrix to these folks, and we'd done it in years past, and we usually have a big yacht there that we sort of charter out, but the yacht wasn't available to us this year, so we got a barge, which actually worked out better because it's just flatter and there's more surface area to put weird Hendrix kind of stuff, like weird taxidermied stuff, or we brought all of our botanicals from the distillery in Scotland there and sort of had an interactive like botanical moment for all the guests too. But the meat and potatoes of it is that, you know, we're sampling Hendrix gin cocktails. We did 7 different drinks, all of them ranging from, you know, probably what everyone will try first with gin being a G&T or a martini, onto like a classic. We did a Floradora variation, which is just gin, lime, raspberry syrup, and ginger. We juiced some fresh ginger in this one and topped it with ginger beer just to give it a bit more spiciness, liveliness with it. We did a delicious punch. And the punch is actually if you're ever doing events for a lot of people, it's just a killer way to crush through a crowd of people. We went through 20,000 cocktails this past weekend in 3 days. It was insane. And then,
how many did your guests drink?
well, actually probably closer to 20,000.
I know the bartenders that were there, and I know that they could.
Yeah, I know. They're completely incriminating material that's being said about them right now, but they'll remain nameless, at least until we finish this shot of warm gin. So, yeah, honestly, most of the guests probably drank that because we were more akin to just like tipping the bottle. Although the serve of the weekend, a Hendrix cocktail that we've been making in our little world for quite some time is we call it an unusual Negroni. It's equal parts Hendrix, Lillet, and Aperol. And all those ingredients complement each other really well. If it were Campari, it would probably get a little too cloying, too bitter. But this one works really well. But this was not one of the drinks that we were serving, but we happen to have a lot of those three ingredients around. So we made a trio shot called the Writ of Habeas Corpus that was a small serve of each one. And you would toast in the spirits local sort of toast. So it'd be, you know, for Italy, for France, and then for America, so that you'd just give a toast in a different language. That was the serve of the weekend for the bar staff, myself included, and all the folks that were helping us out. And I think it worked out pretty well for us. We all made it back to New York in one piece, as far as I know. I got back at 6 a.m. today, and I've slept most of the day, but it's pretty nice and gloomy out here now, so it's a perfect day to be back in New York. But yeah, that was my weekend in a nutshell.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
And these are the kind of things that the brand Hendrix does a lot of. I mean, you guys are all over the place.
Yeah. We always try to bring this gin to life. And luckily we have a really dialed in world around it that sort of Victorian, Edwardian, sort of Jules Verne-ish inspired. And that that lends a lot of character already, and we can just sort of build from there. So when I started with Hendrix, the identity was already sort of out there, and it really has helped just to sort of play off of, and there's a lot of jump off points. So for bartender events, we've been doing croquet tournaments around the country for the past 3 or 4 years now, and those have grown to a really great reception. And then we have some more sort of customer or consumer focused things as well, and those are oftentimes actually one of the most exciting things that I've done. We've brought this the delightfully, let's see if I can get this right, delightfully peculiar cocktail academy with Hendrix gin. So the way that this works is we'll come to a city. Mostly myself, and we'll have a few folks that help out on an agency level, and we'll have a media partner. For example, we were just in DC, and DCist was a partner. We've partnered with The Onion and a few other areas as well, and they'll reach out to their base of of people that are signed up to their newsletter and say, if you're interested in a secret Hendrix event, right back within the next, it used to be the first day, but now since it's the second year we've done it, it's like right back within the next hour and the first 50 people will get more information. Mm-hmm. They show up in two waves of 25. We never have more than 25 at a time just because it's extremely like hands-on engagement with these people that know most. You'd be surprised how little most folks know about making drinks. Mm-hmm. And this is a great way to bring it to them. So we take a journey through a gimlet. So we take a sort of modern variation on a classic. So we're using equal parts fresh lime and simple syrup and you know, twice as much Hendrix gin, so 1-1-2 sort of mm-hmm. Recipe. And then as we evolve it, we take the simple syrup out, and the idea is to highlight botanicals in Hendrix gin, which is a great way for bartenders think about using particular gins and cocktails, like highlighting right. moments that it's got going on in there. I mean, it's just like you if you think of a gin as a painter's palette that has all of these different colors on it, and every gin is different, everyone under the sun. It's a great starting jump off point. I mean, we've worked with that for a long time. So highlighting botanicals, taking the simple syrup out, but the botanical that we'll highlight next is elderflower, and
right.
you know, we'll use Saint Germain instead, and we'll use a little bit more Saint Germain than simple syrup, just because
it's a liqueur.
Yeah. There's less sugar, and we right. want to highlight the botanical. Mm-hmm. And the guests are making the drink on their own the whole time. So I'm not making the drinks for them, which is so amazing for me that I'm not making like 25 of the same cocktail for everyone times three in, you know, the duration of an hour while talking to them. So they get to learn how to jigger, how to open up a shaker set, how to double strain, how to garnish, how to make sure their glass is cold. And you know, it's just one of those things that you see the light bulb like go off, and we do three drinks, and they're all sort of smaller serves. They're sort of popular and coupette glass that you'll see in a lot right. of cocktail bars nowadays. And then the last one is bringing out. So we have orange peel that we'll bring out via orange bitters. We'll top it with some. Dry sparkling wine, usually some cava, and there's a lot of lemon peel that I get in most drier sparkling wines. So really bringing this approach that a lot of bartenders may start off or may still do when they're making a particular gin cocktail, and highlighting those botanicals and sort of taking that evolution journey with two groups of 25 a night, and it's a slam dunk. It's so much fun.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's like you'd think it'd be like when we were starting to plan this thing out, I was like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have one easy drink, and then we're gonna have like a station with like 50 different types of bitters and like tons of vermouths and amari,
liquid
and then,
nitrogen.
Yeah, we're gonna have them like they're gonna go through so much. We're gonna blow their minds, and then we realized, well, one, all that stuff is really hard to ship, and it's a pain in the ass to get. And two, it just you can't go above and beyond. If you start slowly, then you'll sort of plant that seed for a guest that may come to your bar at some time to know to be a bit savvier about what they want and why people make delicious cocktails and how they work.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? Yeah,
and you know, with that being said, you know, it's that formula, that gimlet formula mm-hmm. too. It's, you know, learning the basics like that is so important for any bartender, you know, and a lot yeah. of them don't even know that, you know. It's like knowing the balance of sweet and sour and then the balance with the actual alcohol.
Yeah,
it's like that's a 200 year old, you know.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. Exactly. And it's not, it's like it that works with so many classic cocktails that it's remarkable about, you know, that's just a jump off point. And, you know, if those people that are in the sessions at the Academy, if they want to go out and really develop their home bar and, you know, build cocktails, if they want to build something that's in the sour category, I suggest that they start that way. And, you know, you can bounce off if it doesn't work so well.
Then you throw some muddled cucumber in
exactly.
there. 'Cause that's
exactly.
one of the things that Hendrix is obviously very well known for is the cucumber.
Yeah, so in every batch of Hendrix we have an essence of cucumber and rose in it, and it's the juniper is dialed back quite a bit more than we may expect in a more traditional London dry style of gin, where the juniper is pretty dominant. Mm-hmm. In this one, we've got two different types of stills, and they're both 1,000 liter gin stills. So there's a lot of bigger gin stills out there, and one of them has the botanicals and a neutral spirit and water are placed and they macerate overnight, which is a more traditional way of making gin. That still dates back to the mid-1860s. And then the second still is a more modern style of gin still, where the botanicals don't actually go in the belly of the still. They sit up in what's called a flavor basket, so they're vapor infused. So the two different right. styles of gin essence that you get, one is more viscous, oily, more robust and juniper, spicier driven, and the other is more floral, aromatic, more ethereal style of gin. We combine those two, and then we add an essence of cucumber and rose, because if you try to cook a cucumber and rose, it doesn't taste so good. Cucumbers taste like cabbage if you cook them, and we don't like making cabbage gin. We're into making Hendrick's right. We're at our little distillery. And then roses, they're so delicate, they just kind of taste like chlorophyll. So we'll have an essence that we add after distillation process.
Cool, man.
Yeah. That's the gin in a nutshell. Totally. Should we try one?
Let's try one.
Okay, so we have a small dram of Hendrick's before us, and we are by no means challenged to drink all of this, but I don't know if any of you out there are akin to drinking warm gin in the afternoon as much as I am, but if you happen to have a glass and a bottle, I encourage you to join us.
Yeah, cheers. Absolutely. Cheers. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk more about Hendrick's gin. And we'll be sure to pour one for our producer, Jack. And we'll talk more about the gin market today. And and we'll probably have some more gin.
Cool. All right. Sounds great.
All right. Be back in a moment.
I've got a gal who drinks of whiskey and gin. Oh, yes, now I've got a gal. Kisses me goodnight. She hugs and squeezes me tight. Oh Lord, I'd love it so. And then she turns out the light. There ain't a cloud in sight. She leads me to the river where the still waters flow. Oh, I've got a gal who drinks a whiskey and life's gonna have to go. Oh, it ain't a sin to really love a gal who drinks whiskey and gin.
And we are back. In the studio today, we have Jim Ryan, U.S. Ambassador for Hendrick's Gin. We've just been talking about some of the fun events that Hendrick's puts on, also cocktail classes for lucky winners from a call-in. And we just left having a sip of the very delicious, very smooth Hendrick's gin. Mm. And, you know, this was a gin that when I first started bartending, I won't date myself because now it doesn't seem like, okay, oh man. But it's been a while, is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, so I first started bartending a while back, and first time I tasted Hendrick's, I had that whole mental block of that a lot of people have with gin, and same as tequila. You know, mm-hmm. it's like you are used to having like really shitty tequila, you know, mm-hmm. when you were in like high school. And then also, I remember like drinking gin and juice when Doggy Style dropped, and having bad like Seagram's gin with some like Dole concentrate frozen juice mixture. And Jack's saying thumbs down,
thumbs down.
You know, he had a ton of it when he was growing.
Of course.
Jack, our producer, was saying before the show as well, it's like, you know, when you first try Hendrix Gin, it's one of those things that really breaks out that category for you, because it's very smooth, very approachable. It's got these interesting botanicals, but a lot of people don't realize, and this is, they probably don't realize this about the gin category in general, is that where like a lot of vodkas and other spirits, rums, and that can't, and just in the U.S., they're pretty much standard at 80 proof, and mm-hmm. Hendrix is at 88.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's pretty common, especially for like English gins to be, you know, Plymouth's 82.4. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got these different proof levels for the different gins, and this one happens to be higher than most of them, but it's still super smooth.
It's up there. Yeah, making gin is traditionally about taking a high proof spirit, flavoring it. Most usually all the brands that we sort of just talked about, redistilling that and getting a high proof spirit from it. That's a better distillate. I mean, I have the same story as probably anybody else under the sun, starting out as, you know, as a youngster, you know, that had just turned 21, bartending or, you know, doing something in this industry. And I had miserable experiences with gin, most likely because I'd probably had one too many before I started drinking the gin, or I was drinking the wrong stuff. Yeah. And it just wasn't what I really thought was good. I just was doing it because it seemed like it was the thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's such a high proof spirit, something to consider is that it's not to be trifled with. It's something to sort of be honored and sort of like appreciated in a slower manner. But with this particular one, it's pretty remarkable. Like if you think about what the category was like a good 10, 11 years ago, and if you were a bartender at any decent restaurant bar, you'd probably have 3 bottles of gin on your back bar and 1 in the well. The 1 in the well, we won't even mention. Yeah. I mean, who knows? There's like any given whatever name for it that's, you know, still probably in a lot of other wells. But and you'd probably have a bottle of Tanqueray, a bottle of Beefeater, and maybe a bottle of Bombay Sapphire, because Sapphire right. was kind of the first of this newer style of gin out right. there. And if you were hip enough, like that would, you know, like otherwise you'd probably just have those other two. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, the people that would drink it would be older dudes with big red noses or something, you know, and it was just not like, it wasn't like the thing. But somehow along there, when we launched this, one of the things that I noticed is that it's women enjoy this gin and men enjoy this gin. Mm-hmm. Women like it because it's got flowers in it. Guys like it because it tastes good. And maybe probably girls like it because it tastes good too. Let's hope. And maybe guys like it because it has flowers in it. I don't know. But it's more approachable. And by law, and to do this is that there are different categories of gin. You can make London Dry Gin on the moon if you can build a distillery there. It's just there's sort of a regulation that was sort of dropped in 2008 in Europe as far as making gin and defining categories, mostly to protect London Dry category. But in the definitive sort of function in that category versus the category that Hendrix is in is that in a London Dry category, you can't add any essences after the distillation process. You can only add more alcohol and water. In the distilled gin category that Hendrix is a part of, you can add essences, you can add alcohol, you can add water. And then obviously Plymouth is its own appellation. It's in that there's nothing added after aside from alcohol and water. I'm not entirely sure. I would imagine so. That's pretty common because yeah. what comes off of a gin still is generally very, very hot, intensified mm-hmm. spirit. And then there's just gin, and that can be not redistilled, but you can just like throw stuff in there and just, you know, call it gin and flavor it. And then, of course, there's Geneva as well, which has its own appellation too. So you can only make Geneva in Holland. So, and that's a more maltier style of botanicalized juniper-driven spirit. But the rule of thumb, by law, actually, is that juniper has to be the most dominant flavor right. in it to call it a gin. Now, and then, kind of after that, you can do whatever you want.
You can go more citrusy. Yeah, heavy,
you can it's your tiny, call. You know, yeah. So with this one, we really wanted to make something that was approachable and delicious. And, you know, when we Hendrix is 11 years old, and the U.S. was the first market that we launched in. And, you know, if you think about what was going on in the gin world 11 years ago, it was pretty much a crapshoot. You had no idea if it was going to work, regardless of how good the stuff was, you know, like, and other companies weren't coming out with new gins. This one, you know, nowadays the category has blossomed. It's been amazing. It's, and still I attest that it's the more the merrier for the likes of me. I'm like, yeah, you can, it gives me more to talk about really, seeing this category grow. You know, and it's great that, you know, Hendrix kind of got in sort of on an early stage and people enjoy it, you know, or else who knows, like it could have gone the other way where older people would enjoy it or people that are a bit stuffier would enjoy it rather than a younger, savvier right. crowd.
It seems like to me as a bartender, you know, from seeing what the customers mm-hmm. order, it's like it's really spread across the whole.
Yeah.
Like every age group. You know, every gender, like people, they all like it. So
yeah,
congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can take credit for that at all. I just my when I started with this, this is a relation driven industry, and you know, if you're talking to your bartenders in a particular city, it's about building those relationships. The same thing would attest for the folks that may not be in this industry, the majority of everybody else out there. Yeah. But I think it can be the relationship with a great cocktail too. And that's a great sort of vehicle to do it. So rather than if you're not in the industry and you come to a Hendrix event or you're invited to one, we might offer you a G&T, but we also want to show you how else this can really be delicious and served, yeah. You know, and that's super important, especially so that there's not a distance between the guest and the bartender when, you know, while this cocktail explosion is going on, you're getting yourself closer to each other so you can grow together and help each other out. And yeah. I hope we did this a little bit with Hendrix, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think you have. I mean, it seems to me like the brand's going really well, you know, I mean, and also like one thing that we haven't talked about with the gin is the yeah. packaging is awesome. And I think that's, to me, that was one of the things that's, I mean, you know, obviously it's the juice in the bottle, but
sure.
but the packaging alone, to me, is something that stands out on the back bar. But yeah. also 11 years ago when it dropped, it's like, you know, everyone, it was all like vodka mm-hmm. everywhere. And then you saw this like black,
dark,
squatty,
apothecary, yeah. like frumpy looking bottle back like, there.
What's that?
Yeah. And, you know, we wanted to sort of harken back to a time when gin, spirit, or the botanicals that are involved in making gin were used as an elixir. Now, I'm not going to go out there and say that drinking gin is good for you or anything. Mm-hmm. I can't really do that. but it's everything that is in a bottle of gin is for the most part, real. And those things historically were used for their medicinal properties at one point or another. Now, we wanted to sort of bring that sort of thought into this pack. And it's a squat looking bottle that, you know, plenty of bartenders don't enjoy picking up because it's kind of, it's kind of wonky, but it's definitely got a good footprint on a back bar, as we yeah. like to say in the business. And, it looks, yeah. There's nothing else really that looks kind of like it with that dark bottle and the sort of diamond label, yeah. Even now, which is great.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, hope to have you back on the show.
Yeah, sometime. This is fun. I
it's
really
been
like
really
this.
Fun.
Yeah.
And I just want to say thanks again for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Thanks, do you have any Hendrix events coming up in the city?
The city of New York. Actually, we're looking to do something in Brooklyn in mid-December that will be sort of like the circus coming to town. we'll have a lot going on. That academy that I was talking about, we'll be doing in mid-November. So there's I try to sort of stick around the city for the holidays just because there's so much going on. But if you write to HendrixGin.com or go to CucumberGin.com, it's the same website, just a different name. Just write in and inquire about it, and we'll do our best to get to you in time.
Excellent.
Okay? But lots going on.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, man, it's been my pleasure having you on the show today, Jim. Jim Ryan, U.S. Ambassador for Hendrix Gin.
Thank you very much.
All right.
It's a lot of fun.
We'll talk to you next week on Speakeasy. Yay. Cheers.
That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Man, I wouldn't lie. The cat's higher than a kite. Now when you see him stumbling up and down the street, you know that cat's been drinking.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.